Good morning and welcome to our live stream. We're so happy to see you here. Thank you so much for your generosity. Because of you, we can do awesome ministry work. There are two ways to give. The first way is through our Christ Church Ohio app, and the second way is through our Christ Church Ohio website. We invite you to worship God with us this morning from wherever you're at. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Spirit, Lord, we come together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on his grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down. As your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings. The world will see that our God's face, our God's face. There is hope in your. Together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on his grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings. Song. for me. Love's like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest, and I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh.
Hey, Christchurch, I am so thankful that you are joining us here today. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for the way that you love us. I'm so thankful that you are the something better every one of our hearts and souls have been longing for. I pray today, Father, that you would show us an extra measure of grace. I pray as we study your good word that you would speak your truth and shine your light into our hearts, that we might be encouraged and strengthened to be the men and women that you've called us to be. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday morning, we did our sixth food distribution here in Old Brooklyn, right out of our parking lot for the year. Now, we've been partnering with the Cleveland Food Bank for the last 4 years, and we hand out thousands and thousands of pounds of produce once a month to families in the community. So just to give you an example, this year alone, over the last six distributions that we've done, we've handed out about 24,000 pounds of fresh produce to hundreds and hundreds of families. We put these boxes together and they've got fruits and vegetables, they've got bread, they've got these bags of like pantry items with canned goods and boxed goods, and then we have hygiene kits that go in there. And we have this incredible team that shows up once a month. We get here crazy early. I try to get here early and there's always somebody who beats me here because the team is amazing. And they work together in the hot sun for hours to put all of this food together, these boxes together, to help serve our community well. And I'm not gonna lie, it's a lot of heavy lifting, and they keep giving us these giant cabbages and watermelon. I'll never look at cabbage the same way again. There's lots of sweating going on. We're wearing masks the entire time. But still, month after month, people show up and they've got smiles on their faces. Not because they have to or because they're forced to or even being paid to be here or even because it's easy, but because they have this incredible heart to serve. I'm so, so thankful for this team. Thankful for every volunteer that we have in our church that shows up again and again and again to help serve each other in our community. And this idea of service is such an incredible idea. I want to remind us today what Peter says in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Now, what's interesting is anytime we read these words in the Bible, like, we can't ever forget who said them. And Peter's such a cool guy, like the story of his life and what Christ did in him. Peter was a fisherman when Christ showed up and called him to come follow him. And he was out on the water catching fish to, like, provide a living for his life and his family. And when Christ showed up, everything changed. And he spent the next couple years of his life following Jesus wherever he went, and he saw what he did, and he saw who he helped, and he saw the kind of people that he included and how he treated them, and he listened to Christ teach, and he was there and gave his life when he rose from the dead. He went from being the guy that denied even knowing Jesus Christ to the guy that Christ said, "Go love my people, feed my sheep, and build my church." And he did just that. He went out and became a huge leader in the church and told everybody he could about what Christ had done. And after all this time he spent with Jesus, he said, "Here's what I learned." He said, "We're all gifted in different ways, in different areas. We've all been gifted." I mean, truthfully, just being alive right now today, present right here where we now are now, even in the mess and the chaos, is a gift. He says we have gifts, we have skills, we have talents, and all of us can use these gifts we've been given, these abilities, these talents, to serve one another. We can all use what we've been given to help each other in some way. Peter was blessed. He was changed by the time that he spent with Jesus Christ. And he took what he learned and was able to share these incredible life experiences and words with others. He said, "Look, God's gifted us in different ways, and we've got to take this and use it to serve each other. These blessings that God has shown us, they're not meant to be hoarded and hidden and kept to ourselves. They're meant to be shared." He said, "God gave us so much, and it's our responsibility to share what he's blessed with us with others." It's not a matter of, I know a lot of you are going right now, like, "I don't know if I'm really gifted," if that's the right word. Everybody has skill. Everybody has ability. Everybody has a uniqueness that makes us us. And the truth is, every one of us is capable of helping and serving, and it's a matter of willingness. We have the ability to share, hands to help, feet to go. The question isn't so much can we, but will we? And this idea of service is such a powerful thread that runs through the teaching of Jesus Christ. Because at its core, service is the value of caring for others more than we care for ourselves. And let's be honest, that can be very, very challenging. When life gets hard, like it is right now for so many of us, we go into survival mode, right? Like, we have to survive this day. That's a lot in and of itself. It doesn't feel like we have so much left over for anybody else. It doesn't feel like we have enough left over just to get through the day sometime, let alone anything extra. And we all have these natural inclinations towards keeping a tight hold on what's mine, what belongs to me, right? We're hardwired to think about self first. It comes easy. We're hardwired to go into this, like, preservation at any cost mode. And it creates this tension in our lives between sacrifice and giving and serving and helping and holding on to and clinging and gathering what belongs to us. And when we become confronted by these hard realities that we're facing in the world, it's very, very easy to go to a scarcity mindset. What scarcity said is, we're going to run out. Do you remember going to the grocery store and there was no toilet paper on the shelves? That's a scarcity mindset, right? Everybody's like, well, we have to have toilet paper if we're in lockdown. There's not going to be enough. I got to grab everything. And then what happened was there wasn't enough for everybody else. And we do the same thing in our life. This fear that we face that we're going to run out of money or energy or time or resources makes us start clinging to what we have because we're afraid if I give anything away, I won't have anything left. That I'm going to run out of what I have and nothing's going to be left behind. And it's really, really hard to be healthy with a scarcity mindset. It's hard to be healthy right now, but that is a goal that we can push into and work towards. But we have to start with challenging the scarcity mindset that bubbles up in us because it causes us to live with fear, and we live with the anxiety of the worst case scenario and that worry that there's never going to be enough, and we can't see past what we're trying to cling to and hold on to. And here's why Peter's words are so powerful. He heard the words of Christ teaching us a very, very different lesson. Christ didn't treat us with scarcity. He didn't love us in small measures. He didn't hold anything back in the extravagant love that he gave to us. He's never treated us with scarcity, but instead just the opposite, with immeasurable, extravagant love and grace. He's had grace upon grace upon grace for us at different times and at different ways, but always there. His grace never runs out. It's not a small pie that if you take a chunk out, nothing goes back in. His grace flows in and flows out of our lives again and again and again, because God has always been in the business of serving. I mean, just think about Christ. When he came into the world, he could have come in any way that he wanted. He could have taken any form that he wanted, yet he entered the world as a baby, dependent on the human beings that would take care of him. He became human like us, taking the form of a servant. He didn't lead an army. He didn't enter into a position of royalty and power and authority. But he did lead with compassion for the sick and help for the hungry. He reversed everything that his friends thought they knew about greatness. He came into the world and the world said, this is what it looks like to be great and to have power, and this is what it looks like to rule with authority. I mean, the Roman period ruled with authority. You did not go up against Rome. They squashed you or killed you if you did. But Christ came in and said, this is what the world says about greatness. Let me teach you something very, very different. The first will be last, and the last will be first. He said, if you really want to be great, if you really want to be powerful and make an impact, then you take the form of a servant. And Peter knew these words and said, we have to use the gifting, the blessing, the favor that Christ has shown us and use it to serve one another. I love these words of Timothy Keller. He said, on the cross, Jesus Christ got life without God so we could have life with him. He said he was putting himself into our lives, our misery, our mortality, so we could be brought into his life, joy, and immortality. That's how Christ served us. He served us by giving the best of himself and exchanging it for the worst in us. He became poor that we might become rich. He emptied himself out to fill us up. And friends, it's that love of Jesus Christ that challenges our scarcity mindset. It's that servanthood of Christ that challenges our fear and worry that we're gonna run out and there's never enough. Because the call of Jesus Christ is to live for so much more. And we do that by taking the grace Christ has shown us and sharing it with others. We don't hoard it for ourselves. We don't hide it away in a little building. We go out into the world and we serve, and we take what is unique about us and we help others in any way that we can. Our strength, the things that we are brokenhearted over, our abilities, our talents, the gifts we've been given, we share those in this world. Friends, the greatest impact that we can have for good right now is service. We take what we've learned from Jesus Christ, just like his friend Peter did, and we go out into the world to help. And here's the amazing thing. As we help, as we say yes to service and doing awesome things, partnering with God, God is at work in us. He's at work in our heart, in our mind, challenging us and changing us. You know, the world will teach us so much if we will stop and listen. And service is an incredible teacher. Every time we serve, we have so much to learn. It teaches us values and characters in ways that we could never learn otherwise. I mean, one of the first things that it teaches us is humility. For many of us, let's be honest, it's easy to spend a lot of time thinking about ourselves, right? We think about what we don't have. We think about what's going wrong. We think about the problems that we're facing. We think about what we wish we did have or what would be different or all the things that have happened to us or the things that we have to get done right now or the overwhelmingness of things that are happening. The list goes on and on, right? Like, we have a very easy time thinking about all of the things that are happening. It's how we're hardwired. It comes easy. But here's the truth. Humility and selfishness are incompatible. We can't live humble lives while living selfishly. Every one of us have different levels of selfishness in our life that we have to push back against, that we have to grow out of and away from. And service and humility help us do that together. See, humility isn't about putting ourselves down, and it's not convincing everybody that, oh, you know, I'm terrible, I'm not that great. It's not about humiliating ourselves. It's not about lessening ourselves or saying I'm just incompetent or beating ourselves up or making ourselves nothing. Instead, it's self-forgetfulness. We're so busy doing for others and doing other things that I don't have time to get lost in the selfish circle that we get lost into. A lot of what these last 6 months have been is a real humbling experience, right? For a lot of us, life changed rapidly and quickly, and what we have learned is, what do I really need? What really matters the most in life? What can I live without? Many of us learned really quick what was absolutely necessary and what wasn't that we could let go of. But as life marches on, it's so easy to forget these things that we've learned. It's so easy to fall back into old habits. But service is the thing that pushes and pushes and challenges us to think differently. Because what it does is it causes our focus to be outward instead of only inward. It helps us spend time thinking about other people, their needs and their life and their experience and how we can help. Humility isn't making less of ourselves. It's just thinking less about ourselves, which is one of the healthiest things, one of the healthiest habits many of us could do right now. Because we've got vanity and stubbornness and pride and grouchiness that needs to be fought against. And Christ invites us into service, which teaches us humility in a way that changes our heart for the better. But service also teaches us about gratitude. It's so interesting. Whenever you work hard or you show up to do something, like, I'm never more thankful for what I have than through service. Because as we spend time thinking less about ourselves, our perspective changes and our focus changes, and we get to see what we so easily forget. I came home yesterday from working on our food distribution, and I'm going to tell you, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, I'm exhausted. I'm never more thankful for a hot shower and my comfortable couch than I am on those days. And those are small things that are so easy to forget about. Those are incredible blessings that I'm very, very lucky to have, but in the day-to-day routines of life, I easily take those things for granted. But service takes our eyes off of ourselves long enough to refocus our attention and see things in a brand new light. And it makes us much more aware of what we do have to be thankful for. It makes us so much more able to see the fullness of our life, which springs up as gratitude and thanksgiving. The more we are aware of what we're thankful for, the more we're able to turn that gratitude into expressing thanks to God. Instead of seeing what we don't have, service helps us to see, man, there's so much more that I have to be thankful for than I give myself credit for. It's interesting because things like anxiety and depression are linked to states of self-focus, that self-preoccupation on me, myself, mine, mine, mine. But when you do something for somebody else, it shifts that focus from self to other. And what happens is, guess what? If I'm feeling down, if I am feeling stressed out, if I am feeling anxious, when we show up to help other people, it pulls us out of that dark place, that sorrow, that blueness, by turning our focus on other people and getting new perspectives. Much of these feelings that we face come from the place that says there's nothing I can do. Everything's hard and I can't change any of it and there's no difference I can make. But service says, absolutely, yes, you can. It takes us out of the mindset that says there's nothing I can do to becoming, I am an active player in this world, in my life, and right now there is something each and every single one of us can do. I know there's a lot we've had to give up. I know there's a lot we've had to change. I know that those things exist, but so do others. They are not the only truth. There are still choices we can make every single day to help. There are choices we can make to serve and to consider the interest of others. And that service gives us a heart of gratitude because we stop seeing everything that we don't have and we have a new focus that shows us what we have. I know that there's a lot to complain about right now. I know there's a lot to be frustrated about. I know that there's a lot to be grouchy about. But service helps us look in new directions and opens our heart to new forms of gratitude. What if we just started telling God thank you every single day for something? We don't have to get big and fancy and extravagant. We could just say, thank you for the car that got me to church today. Thank you for the coffee that I got to drink that gave me some energy when I was tired. Thank you for the beauty of this day and the sunshine and the sky. Thank you for the family that I get to do life with. Thank you for loving me. Even when I am as unlovable as is humanly possible, thank you for loving me. Even on the days that I don't deserve it, thank you for helping me. Even when I am a raging jerk, thank you for being kind to me. What happens is we get to approach life with thanksgiving instead of just the grouchiness that overwhelms our days. But then service also teaches us about love. Because here's the truth, and we're going to dive into this more in the coming weeks. Loving God means loving people. They're always going to be connected. And the truth is, on the best of days, this can be very, very hard because people are messy and people have this own sense of what they want to do, when they want to do it, and they don't always want to do it the way we want them to. And that creates tension and difficultness, and people can be mean. And let's be honest, people are stretched right now and not all of us are at our best. And there's a lot of criticism going on, and there's all this provoking each other and hard conversations, and they'll cut you off in the drive-thru and not even care about it. People will say harsh and hurtful things in the name of politics, and everybody has an opinion right now about what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and it's loud, and it cares nothing for what your heart is feeling or what you're struggling with. And it can be hard in these moments to continue in brotherly love with people when many of the time it's hard to even like them. It's much harder to love people when we don't like them. It's hard to be gracious to people, especially when we feel the most bothered. But friends, here's also the truth. It is very hard to hate people up close. It's easy to hate from a distance. It's easy to separate ourselves and say, this is good and this is bad and this is right and this is wrong. And if you're not on the right side, then clearly you're terrible. And it's easy to categorize people and dehumanize them and hate them. But it is much harder to hate up close when we really get to know people, when we see the God-given ability in each and every one of them, when we see the image that they carry. God made them and gave his son Christ for them. We can do better. I love Maya Angelou said, when you know better, you do better. Friends, we know better. Christ taught us better, and every single one of us can do better right now. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't care what other people are posting on Facebook that you feel like you somehow have to counteract it with some other harsh, terrible opinion. That's not who we've been called to be. We've been called to be the servants of Jesus Christ who go out into this world and make it better by helping. Not by telling people how terrible they are, not by ranting and raving what we're against, but by saying Christ has always been for people, and so are we. By helping through service, using the giftedness that God has given us and sharing it with others. Christ has given us everything we need to serve others right now. We have it. It's in us. It doesn't mean it's easy, but we have it in us. We can outpatient the grouchiest of people. We can be gracious in the hardest of times. Yes, there are difficult people in this world, but we can help them anyways. Yes, there are mean and hurtful people, but we can still serve. Yes, people might not appreciate what we do, but we can still be kind day after day after day. Because Jesus Christ said, here's how the world knows that you are mine. The way you love. And service teaches us so much about love because it puts us up close and personal to people, and it's hard to miss just how human and real they are when we are doing life with them. God teaches us through service by going out and doing, not just saying. I know it's right to say the right things, that the truth matters, but we back it up with what we do. So not only do we learn through service, I want to talk really quickly because I don't want us to miss this. Who can you serve right now? Because it's easy to look out and say, well, I used to do this and I can't do this anymore, or that's not even an option. But I want to clear past all of that. Every one of us have people in our life, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our church that we could be at work serving right now. And I want to start with our family, because let's be honest, families are struggling right now. I mean, I guess it should really not be a surprise that forced together time is really, really hard, right? Working from home, school from home, all together all the time on top of all of these stresses that we're facing. It all puts this extra pressure on families, and it's squeezing us and putting a strain on us. And it shows. We've seen this with family and friends and in the news. Some of my favorite people are going through a divorce right now, and it's heartbreaking. The statistic is actually from March through June of this year compared to last year, the rate of divorce is up 34% just in those months because of all of the struggling happening in families right now. What if instead of all of the extra stress, grouchiness, and frustrations we feel at our family, we didn't say they had to do anything. We said, I'm going to shift my mindset and think about my family different. And what if we approached it with a service mindset? What if we looked at our spouse and said, I'm going to start serving my spouse differently? There's this really good book by John Gottman. If you're looking for a helpful tool, it's called The 7 Principles of Marriage, Making Marriage Work. And he said, one of the saddest reasons a marriage dies is that neither spouse recognizes its value until it's too late. He said, too often a good marriage is taken for granted rather than being given the nurturing respect it deserves and desperately needs. He said, the simple truth is that happy marriages are based on deep friendship. And by this, he means a mutual respect and enjoyment of each other's company. You know each other so well that you know your likes and dislikes and personality quirks and hopes and dreams. Our spouses need us to be best friends right now. They need our love and our patience and our kindness. God gave them to us. And I know you've got your list. They're not perfect. But brother, sister, neither are we. On my best days, I am a lot. We aren't perfect. But these are the people God has given us to do life with. And we honor our marriage by spending time working on it. We have the most terrible mindset that looks at movies and social media and families, and we're like, oh my gosh, they have it so much better, right? This grass is greener mentality. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you pick up the water can and water it. Good marriages take work. Anybody you know that looks like their life is working, I guarantee you, if you talk to them about it, they're going to tell you about all the struggles they've had to face and all the work they've put into taking care of each other. It's easy to take for granted the people who are closest to us. It's easy to overlook them and get wrapped up in our own problems and our own needs. But God calls us to honor our relationships, to nurture them, to take care of them. What if we said, I'm going to look for ways to honor my marriage this week? Instead of looking at how great everybody else has it, I'm going to say, this is my watering can. I am watering the grass of my relationship this week. And we started by looking for ways to serve our spouse. Instead of looking for ways to fix them or change them or challenge them or try to get them to see the world from our perspective, we just said this week, I'm going to look for ways to help, to serve them, to encourage them, to being kind to them. Instead of pointing out all the things that we think that they're doing wrong or the things that they should have done, I'm going to say, how can I encourage them today? How can I help them tomorrow? How can I be their best friend? And we can go do something fun together and silly together and play together. Instead of holding everything they've ever done wrong against them, I know some of you are scorekeepers, don't judge me, let it go. And say, today is the day that I'm just gonna start helping. I'm just gonna start loving. I'm gonna start looking for ways to show grace. What if we served our kids? I know we're all a lot wrapped up in the things that are hard for us and the things we've had to change and the things we've had to give up, but our kids have had to go through this too. And they've faced a lot of hard changes and a lot of things that they've had to give up. And they need our encouragement. I know we're tired and feel like we don't have a lot left over at the end of the day. But what if we said, I'm going to start serving my kids differently this week? Our kids need reminding when things are at their messiest that we can do hard things together, that we aren't going anywhere, that we are team them every single day of the week. That we've got their back and we're in this together, and the loudest voice they hear is mom and dad cheerleading them. Because I guarantee you, they're gonna hear mean voices. I guarantee you, the world is gonna punch them in the face at some point in their life. We've all lived it. But what if the soundtrack of their mind is their moms and dads, the people who love them the most, their caretakers saying, you matter, Christ loves you, we're here and we're not going anywhere. We can serve in our communities. There are a lot of people who need help right now. There are a lot of lonely, scared, tired people trying their best, running on empty. There are so many people who just need to be seen, who just need somebody to look them in the eyes and say, I see you, and get to know them and listen to them and be present. They need encouraged. We could serve by helping a neighbor, by calling somebody just to check in on them and see how they're doing. We could stand with somebody in their dark place, in their hard moments, and say, you know what, you're not alone. I know life is wonky and it's weird and we can't do what we've always done, but you are not alone. I'm here with you. We could go buy groceries for somebody. We could say, you know what? You've got flesh things cut in front of me in line. Can you tell what's not good for me? Lines are not my healthy place. But you know what? When I let people cut in front of me, I'm less grouchy about the people who are trying to cut in front of me. It takes my focus in a different place. Send a thank you card to somebody this week and just say, "You're awesome. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you." Send a gift card to somebody and say, "You know what? Go out to dinner. Have groceries on us. Have a coffee on us. Pick up garbage in your neighborhood. Use your hands to do something for somebody else. If you really want to help, come help us in our food distribution. It's an awesome place to come serve in the community and help, and we're going to hopefully do it through the winter, which we've never done before. Fourth Saturday of the month, we'll be here." We can serve in our community right now and overwhelm the negative with good. Dr. King said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Look, life isn't comfortable right now. A lot of us feel that tension. But what if instead of trying to get back to comfortableness, instead of ignoring the tension and trying to get out of the hard, we just lean into this is life, this is our reality, and even in this place, we can make healthy choices. We can help, we can serve, we can make an impact for good right where we are. It's not the time for comfort, but it is, friends, the time for courage. The courage to see beyond ourselves and to help, to move towards needs instead of away, to not hide out, but to open our eyes and say, "God, I want to serve. Would you please help?" Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that our hearts would be wide open to how we could serve others well this week. Father, as you've shown us varied grace in varied ways, I pray that you would pour out a fountain of grace in us that we might share with others this week. I pray, Father, that the something better you've done in us through Jesus Christ would be what we do in this world day after day after day. Help us, I pray, to serve in love just as Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I am a wasteland. You are the water. And I am a winter. You are the fire. When I am a long night, you are the sunrise. When I am a desert, you are the river that turns to find. What have I done to deserve love like this? What have I done to deserve love like this? Your voice like a whisper, breaking the silence. Say there's a treasure. Look till you find it. You search to find me. What have I done to deserve love like this? Like this, I cannot.
Thank you so much for tuning into our live stream. We can't wait to see you back here next week.